Well, God bless. It's wonderful to have everybody here. Thank you for your support, for your giving, for your participation, and just all the great things that you individually do as a believer, as a member of the body of Christ. And I'd have to say that that's pretty important, because God's placed you in the body as He chose. And you can't ever underestimate that. You can't undermine that. And as you live your life according to the Word, you really get the opportunity to manifest His plans for you. Now, if you don't live your life according to the Word, that's a different story. But we're not like that. Well, before we get going, I think we need to say who we are and what we can do. We'll do it in English and Spanish. You guys all remember I am what the Word of God says I am? All right. I am what the Word of God says I am. I have what the Word of God says I have. I will be what the Word of God says I will be. I can do what the Word of God says I can do. And I have God's favor in my life. Now let's try it in Spanish. Yo soy lo que la palabra de Dios dice que soy. Yo tengo lo que la palabra de Dios dice que tengo. Yo seré lo que la palabra de Dios dice que seré. Yo puedo hacer lo que la palabra de Dios dice que puedo hacer. Y yo tengo el favor de Dios en mi vida. Give yourselves a hand. Well, you guys are doing great. Are you what God's Word says you are?
Yes.
Hey, it's one thing to say it, it's another thing to believe it. I was sitting in a room one day this last week, and they had magazines up and all. And there was this one magazine, and right on the cover of the magazine it said, "Will my love last? How long will my love last?" That's what it said. And I said, well, that's an interesting question. But then I thought about it. And I said, you know, that might be something kind of fun to talk about today. How long will your love last? How long will your love last? Has anybody ever had a friend? Okay. Good. Okay. How about a boyfriend or girlfriend? Okay. We're doing okay. Somebody that you loved? Good. I think we can cover everybody in here then. How long will your love last? Well, Jerry, wait a minute. That's all gone. It didn't last. Oh, okay. Has anybody had a relationship that fell apart? Yeah, okay. Well, gosh, that started back in junior high school. Well, we could get more focused. How about a marriage? Some people have had marriages that have fallen apart, right? How about just a best friend? You had a best friend, fell apart, gone. Just gone, you know. Everybody's dealt with things like that in their lives. How long will your love last? And what I wanted to do was to show you from the Word how important one aspect of your relationship is. If you're going to have love in a relationship, there's one thing you have to have. And if you don't have this one thing, throw it out the window. Chalk it up as lost. Lost at sea. Ship lost at sea. Lovers. Drowned. Whatever you want to call it. Gone. Never happened. Couldn't last. Will not survive. You got to have this one thing. And I'd like you to turn to Genesis chapter 37. I want to show you something about Israel and Joseph, just very briefly, so that you can see that, number one, God decided, hey, let's put this in there. Let's go ahead and let everybody know the negative side of this thing. Now you're going, oh, come on, Jerry, what are you talking about? Well, I'm not telling you yet, okay? Just kind of beating around the bush a little bit. But in Genesis 37, I can see Gary down there in San Antonio going, what's he talking about? Come on, get to it. Genesis 37, verse 3 says, "Now Israel loved Joseph." Israel is Joseph's daddy, okay? "Loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age." In other words, his youngest son. "And he made him a coat of many colors." So, verse 4 says, "And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him." So what we're learning is that in a relationship, if you have love, you've got peaceful speaking. But if you have hate, you have a gross lack of ability to be peaceful, to speak peacefully. Notice that the only speaking that those brothers could do unto him were hateful things. And of course, they did hateful things unto him as well. So they spoke hatefully and they acted hatefully toward him. Remember, they sold him into slavery. Now, I'm not going to go into this account any more than that. But I want you to see that God had it recorded here, the way these guys changed. Well, they were brothers. But finally, and they got along. And then finally, one day, it broke. They couldn't. They couldn't speak peacefully anymore. Interesting. Speaking and love go hand in hand. Speaking and love go hand in hand. If you say that you love someone, then you are willing to speak with that person. And that's a principle. That's a basic principle in a successful relationship. When and where you have proper communication, you have the potential for a very loving relationship. Whereas if you do not have peaceful communication at all, you're not going to have a loving relationship. How many of you have had a very loving relationship and just had the most wonderful communication? I have. You guys are going, "Well, I don't know, is that a trick question?" No, I'm not going to trick you. How many of you have had relationships that have had absolutely lousy communication to the point that the relationship ended? I have. Yeah, sure. If you don't have proper communication in a relationship, you are not going to have love. Okay? You are simply not going to have love. I'll say it another way. Love without communication isn't love at all. Love cannot exist without communication. I need you to be spiritually minded for a moment. Now, this is a very practical teaching. We're not going to go in and undo the nuts and bolts of Ephesians today, okay? I need you to be very practical for a moment. And I want you to think about love. Love cannot exist without communication. So for you to understand this, I need you to be spiritually minded. I want you to look at love as if it's a life force. Perhaps even a being of sorts. Not a person, but it's got life. Not an animal, but it's got movement. Not a building, but it's got substance. I want you to look at life through spiritual eyes, because God's love, and He's the one that made love. And it's a substance. It's almost a being, but it's not. It can be made tangible. but it can't be seen, but it's real. It can't be touched, but love holds. Love is something that you can activate. It's something that you can energize. It's something that you can bring into being by a few simple things. Now, you all have said you've had relationships that have been lost at sea. Okay? I put it lost at sea, but you said yes. You've all had relationships that have gone a little shipwreck. I want you to think about those relationships for a moment. How many of those relationships had wonderful communications? You know, all the ones that are lost at sea, they're still out there down on the bottom of the ocean. How many of those relationships had great communication? You both were just talking and, you know, just really sharing your hearts. How many said zero? Everybody raised their hand. Yeah. If you have a relationship that you're calling love, yet you have lousy communication, that relationship is on the rocks. Would everybody agree to that? Okay, it's a fact. We all know that. We've got to do something about it, though. That's where we're at today. I mean, I'm bringing up things that, well, you probably could figure out on your own. You know, hey, if we're not talking, we got problems. Okay, that's a no-brainer. But I want to take it past that, and I want you guys to understand that you, as Christians, are obligated before God to do something about it. That you, as Christians, are obligated to learn to communicate. That you, as Christians, are responsible to God for a few choice things. And in order to whet your appetite, I'd like you to turn to Psalm 45. I want you to understand that even though God didn't write a whole book in the Bible on it, although he did, the Song of Solomon, I want you to understand that he still puts extreme importance on how important it is to communicate with each other. In Psalm 45, verse 1, to the chief musician upon Shoshanan, for the sons of Korah, Mashkild, a song of loves. Okay, Psalm 45 is a song of loves. It's all about love. A song of loves. My heart is inditing a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made touching the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Wow, I love that verse. My heart is inditing a good matter. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. This is a song of loves. A song of loves. If you are going to profess love, then you've got to profess these other things too. Heart, inditing a good matter. Tongue, like the pen of a ready writer. I love to write. Okay, I'm a writer, and I just love to write. Now, I don't use a pen anymore. It should say keyboard of a ready writer. But a writer loves to put it down on paper. He loves to keep it flowing. It just happens. Okay? It's a song of loves. You can take some advice from a writer here and let your heart bubble. Inditing, it's like effervescing, bubbling up. You can take some advice from a writer and let things bubble up out of your heart, out of your mouth, My tongue is like the pen of a ready writer. Okay, I know. Men are notoriously known for not communicating, and women are notoriously known for never shutting up. All right. I'm going to ask you to throw the world away because the world does nothing but contaminate you. I don't care what piece you pick of it. All it does is contaminate you. Every one of you men know that you can talk. And every one of you women know that you can cool it. It's all how you manage your own life. But let's just throw that nonsense away. Okay? I don't want to focus on the world. I want you to understand that if you say you have love with somebody, but you don't have communication, then you've got a recipe for failure. It's on the brink. It's going down the rocky slopes. You're in a torrent. You probably have something coming down on you that you don't anticipate even, or you don't look forward to if you do anticipate it. You've got to have communication in love. Men, you have the ability to talk as much as you want about anything, and you know it. Women, you too. And women, you don't have to be mean about it. You know, some women say, well, I communicate with my husband. I yell at him all the time and put him in his place. You know, I let him know all his shortcomings. I'm telling you, that's not communication that I'm talking about. And men, I know you men, you say, well, I communicate with my wife all the time. I'm always telling her what to do. I rule with a heavy hand. My kids are always in subjection to me. Boy, if they go out of bounds 1 second, man, they're in the bedroom crying because I already, and on and on and on. Folks, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about communication in love. I'm talking about learning how to let things out of your heart, bubble up out of your heart, onto your tongue, so that you energize love. So that you give it its substance, its waiting. If you don't learn to communicate with your loved one, you don't have love there. It's not possible. Take a parent and a child. The child's always asking things. But if the parent has already become calloused and hard because of all the woes of the world and shut down, then that love starts to wane. Now the child keeps trying, so that's what keeps the relationship active in part, but it's not as good as it should be. And you can see other relationships where you know you have to communicate, otherwise it's not going to work. Your boss comes to you and says, hey, I need you to do this. You just sit there. It's not going to work. You are going to have to say something back to your boss, and you know that, and you do that. Even if, you know, it's in the form of a monthly report, but you still have to communicate. And so you're nurturing a degree of love there. Could be love-hate. just kidding. But you're nurturing a relationship there. Well, we have an interesting dilemma that we run into occasionally. You have somebody that you say you love. Maybe even they have said that to you. Yet, there's no real substance there. There's no real fire there. There's no real excitement there. And you're going, well, what's going on here? You know, what's going on here? Well, first of all, I can tell you that there's lousy communication. I can just tell you that. Okay, now you guys can accept that. A lot of times we end up in these crazy relationships / friendships, whatever you want to call them, and they're really nothing more than you and your fantasy loving yourself because you're not getting anything from the other person in the form of communication. when and where you have a relationship that has lousy communication, and it can be a marriage, it can be a friendship, but if you have a relationship that has lousy communication, the wife doesn't talk to the husband, or she's mean to him all the time in her ever so subtle way, or the husband is not nice to the wife, he's overbearing to her, he's not flexible, he doesn't take care of her as she tries to communicate her needs to him. When you have these kind of situations, well, number one, it's a problem, but you don't have, you just have lousy communication and it's on its way down. You have to get to the place where there's communication so that the situation doesn't fail. And if you're prolonging or trying to maintain one of these kind of situations, I call them fanatical. Mainly because you're just loving yourself to keep going. You're not getting any love from the other person. Okay? And that's bad. And you have to recognize that. I've learned to recognize that in life. It takes a long time, I guess, to accept certain facts of life. But when you have people that don't love you back, it's important that you read it. That you say, well, look, this person's not loving me back. How do you know? Because they're not communicating. If there's no communicating coming back, they're not loving you. Now, isn't that pretty straightforward and simple? Does the potential exist for that person to change? Well, I guess. But are you supposed to sit around and wait around for it? I don't think so. You got to draw a line somewhere. So that you don't beat yourself up and get hurt. Because some people aren't worth waiting around for. Oh, that sounds terrible. And even some Christians aren't worth waiting around for. Oh, that's really bad, isn't it? No. Because there are some bad people out there, Christian or not. Okay? You just have to be smart enough to be careful about your own life. And so, the point I'm trying to make is that if you don't have communication, you don't have love. And now if you're in a situation where you're trying to communicate and they're not, and you think you have love, it's nothing but fanatical. You're fantasizing. Okay? And you need to recognize that. Now both of you can come to the table and say, look, if this doesn't change, okay, fine, it's over. Because you can't control you. One person cannot control another. And that's what you have to understand. People cannot control people. They try, but you cannot control another person. So, as I said, this is practical now. So if you're in a situation where you have people you're kind of hanging on to, come on, you know, and they're not communicating, then you need to wake up and smell the coffee. Because what happens is if you keep going into a relationship that is fanatical, you're setting yourself up for harm because you're getting ready to hurt you. And that's what you don't want to do. So don't be blind in love, okay? If you're walking into a situation, a friendship of some sort, a relationship of some sort, and that person is not communicating, not responding in any way, really, well, then why don't you accept that? Don't be stupid about it. Let somebody else have them. You say, well, I'm a Christian. I'm supposed to witness to everybody. Okay, fine. Well, you did your job. Now leave them. Let somebody else get them. You know, maybe somebody else can get through where you couldn't. Okay? So learn where to draw the line so that you don't harm yourself. Well, I told you that the Song of Love says that you're supposed to be speaking out of your heart, and everybody can do it. I'd like you to turn to Mark chapter 12. And I want to read you the greatest commandment of all. It's all about love, and I know every one of you guys have heard it before. But I thought it was so fitting that we could look at this from a slightly different perspective along the lines of what I'm saying and perhaps glean something from it. Mark chapter 12, verse 28, "And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, 'Which is the first commandment of all?'" What does first mean? Number uno, right? Numero one. "And Jesus answered him, 'The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment.' And then he went on to say the second. 'And the second is like this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these.'" So these are considered a commandment. These are all in a nutshell, so to speak. They're one. You love God and you love people. But I want to tell you something. Man acts sometimes like he doesn't know how to love. Man treats man badly. And you have to think about that and wonder, well, I guess maybe some people can't love. Would you believe that? That's a trick question. Absolutely not. God commanded man to love because every man can love. God commanded every man to love him because every man can. And God commanded every man to love every other man, the neighbor, because man can. Nobody has an excuse here. That's why I said throw the world out. Throw all that worldly nonsense that clutters up your mind. Throw it away. Okay? Every one of us have the ability to love. And it's up to every one of us to love. We all have been given the ability just because we're men. Just because that's how God made us. And there's nothing you can do to change that. It says the first. How would you treat a first commandment? Well, you need to put it first. Now, I know that the New Testament, in being born again, now you understand, when I say New Testament, I'm not saying Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, okay? We start with Romans, because technically those are in the Old Testament. But you'll see this commandment in the New Testament as well, in the epistles. So it still applies. But my point is, all of Jesus Christ's works are summed up, and all of the law is fulfilled. So you're not supposed to be going around and doing all 900 of these laws. But you are supposed to love. Because it's still in the epistles. And that's kind of an interesting way of life, because now it's 100% free will. In the Old Testament, including Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it's a commandment. Okay? And it's almost a commandment in the epistles. But the point is that every man can do it because every man was asked to do it. And I want every one of you to love, to accept this. So if it's the first, what does that mean? Well, it means that it's a little more important than your exercise program. It means it's a little more important than your diet. It means it's a little more important than hubby or wifey or bubba or whoever it is. It's just a little more important than anything. You need to get to the place where you make some space for love. If you don't have loving relationships in your life, attachments, serious attachments with people, you're not a lover. and you haven't made that space. You need to be lovers, every one of you. If you don't have a best friend, if you're single, if you don't have a loving wife, if you're married, or a loving husband, if you're married, if you don't have great relations with your kids, if you have sour relations at work, you are not a lover. If you want to become a good and wonderful, loving person, then you must learn to communicate. I can't, for the life of me, imagine how you could love God with all your mind without sharing your thoughts with Him. With all your soul without sharing your soul with Him. With all your strength without giving Him a little. I can't imagine how you could ever love God with all your being without communicating with Him. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I can't for the life of me imagine how you could love your neighbor without communicating. Open, honest, loving communications. And I can't imagine how any person could get to life without at least one close person. And those people who do not have a close person are the ones that are afraid to communicate because they believe what the world says. The stuff we threw away, that men can't communicate and that women talk too much or whatever it is. And I feel sorry for people like that. I feel sorry for wives that are too mean and yet don't have the time to be gentle. I feel sorry for husbands that are too overruling and yet don't have the time to take care of the tender little wife, because the Bible says that she's a weaker vessel. You know, I feel sorry for people that don't learn to communicate, because that's what it is. You know, the wife gets all mad and stays mad for the next 20 years because she feels like she's been given the short end of the stick. And the husband, well, he's mad too because all he's doing is window shopping out there. Or something else has come along and captured his attention, whereas the wife's the one that ought to get his attention. Or the friendships, when so-and-so comes up and says such and such about you, and then takes your friend away. I feel sorry for people as weak as that. There's a lot of things to feel badly about in terms of communication in a relationship. But there's also a lot of things to feel goodly about. But you'll never get to the place where you feel goodly about your love life if you don't make space for God. You've got to make space. And the only way you can make space, folks, is by learning how to communicate. When my wife and I were married in our first year, we used to sit around and laugh. We'd practically laugh at each other. Well, I'd laugh at her, but she'd never laugh at me, I don't think. But no, we'd sit around and we'd just laugh. And we did that for years. And over the years, we still laugh. In fact, one of the reasons, the main reason I wanted to marry her was because she makes me laugh from deep within. I needed that in my life. And boy, that just was crazy. It was just amazing. She just would do it, you know. She just do it. Well, we talk about some of the most mundane and ridiculous things that you would never hear. You have your own things. But, you know, we just quip this, quip that. But there's always smiles on our face and in our heart. It's uninhibited. It's free. It's wonderful. We communicate. That doesn't mean she doesn't get frustrated. My gosh. You know, she's raising a boy bigger than I am. She gets frustrated. And she lets me hear it. But we deal with it. But there's no hate. There's no meanness. No bitterness. We communicate. We talk. We take care of each other. I don't care if you're married or not, if you're single with a friend or if you're married with a spouse, it's always the same. Or at work, in your work relationships. If you treat people badly, you don't have an edge on communication. You're not a lover. And I feel sorry for you because your life is incomplete. There's a security in love. It's like a protection. You turn on the news all the time. You see all the nonsense out there. You feel it. You feel like you're being violated all day long. It's the way it is out there, but that's not life. That stuff doesn't matter to us. We're not ignorant of it. Certainly not. But first, love God. And that opens up healing. That opens up health. That opens up prosperity. That opens up all the avenues of heaven. I love studying German, and I know most of you, or a lot of you know that. And I read German literature, a lot of the famous stuff. And I can't always agree with what they wrote about, but how they wrote was rather interesting. And recently I read one work, very famous. It's called The Earthquake in Chile. And it was staged in the 1600s. And supposedly it happened. But the writing of those times always had a religious onus, okay? The R.C. onus, Roman Catholic, and very interesting. But one of the, and I've still tried to determine how could I capture this and communicate it, because I actually kind of liked it. But this guy's view was that, you know, we're all on earth and heaven is up there looking down on us. But all the host of heaven. Now, you got to be real careful with this as a Christian. Because, you know, the Michelangelo, Sistine Chapel, and all those magnificent paintings all show man as being about this big. And all the God things this big, huge, right? And from an Old Testament perspective, I suppose that there could be some accuracy in that. Although I'd be real careful. But I can guarantee you from a Christian perspective, it's not accurate. Because when we get born again, we're seated in the heavenlies. Your citizenship is in heaven. Yet, heaven's there. And earth is here. Now that's a fact. And we know in Revelation that the throne of heaven will come down and set on the new earth. And then there won't be any more of that up there. Okay, we all know that. Well, how do you put that together in your understanding? Well, you've got to think about it for a minute and realize that here we are. We're all running around every day doing our crazy stuff. God's sitting on his throne, which is where he lives, but he also lives in us. This is why it gets kind of interesting. So that's why I say be careful. Just bear with me and kind of get the picture a little bit. Okay, that's all. I'm not trying to subdue you and turn you into each individual footstool for God. I'm just communicating an image. But you've got God and you've got the host of heaven there. And they are there. Now there's angels that run around doing things for God, and like an army, just like there's those old devils running around for the devil doing things like an army on this earth. But you have the right to do whatever you want to do. Now, God's always watching. They're all checking things out. I suppose they take notes. But you can do whatever you want to do. Len and I watched a movie, and the mother's daughter died, and she was at the graveyard screaming, "Why? Why?" I hate movies like that. It was a nice movie, but that one part always disturbs me. Because man doesn't have the right to scream "why" like that to God. Okay? That's immaturity. But when you look at the situation, you've got God and all the things of God, and you've got us running around doing our thing. And quite honestly, my point being now that you control everything that you want to control. You want to have a bad day, then be sour today. You want to have a good day, then be happy today. You have a hard time being happy, then go be around happy people, but do something to change that. Man has the ability to control everything they want to control. Now, certainly there are spiritual things involved. The devil's a god of this world, and we know that. And God rules the heavens, and we know that. And we've got God in Christ in us, and we've got the power of all that within us. We know that too. But yet we're at war in Iraq right now. Well, man chose that, not God. And you see one business fold and another prosper. Well, men are working in there. Men choose things and determine things. There's a beautiful building being built. There's another one being torn down. Man did that, and man did that. Man decided that you're going to have a house that looks like this and go to another country and it looks like that. Man orchestrates things on this earth today. Without God intervening, like in the Old Testament, it's a different day, it's a different time. So you've got God ruling from heaven, and you've got all the things going on up there and all the observations, and you truly are being observed, but you've been given rights, responsibilities, reasoning, the ability to mature into something, to make the right choices, to do the right things. You've been given all of this. So when you look about it, I'm just trying to squeeze your focus a little bit further out. You got all this out there going on that you might not agree with, but man's the one that's doing it, okay? And they have the right. But now I want you to take it to you, just your little life, everybody's little life, okay? And I want you to understand that you've got the ability to love. You choose. You want to build a building of love? Build it. You want to tear it down? Tear it down. But nobody answers for you but you. And if you want to have a lasting, loving relationship, you've got to communicate. If you do not communicate, there's no hope for love. How do we know that? Well, God gave us His Word. First, it says, "For God so loved," what does it say? "The world, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but shall have everlasting life." How do we learn about that love, though? In the Bible. This is His form of communication. He gave us His Word. He communicated with us. Now it's up to us to communicate with Him. If you don't have communication, you don't have love. He has it. He has it. This is His communication. See? It's still talking. Paper's falling out of my Bible. That's His communication. Then He says to us in Ephesians chapter 4, I think this is the one that Joe and Gary were waiting for me to get to. Ephesians chapter 4, and verse 15. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, Christ. Speaking the truth in love. It's a fundamental principle. Yes, it applies to doctrine, but it applies to you too. God gave us his word. He spoke to us. Now it's up to us to speak to each other. Speaking the truth in love. Speaking and love go hand in hand. Now when you speak to your loved one, and I trust that you do, let it be truth. Let it be that which effervesces from your heart. Like the tongue of a penny, of the pen of a ready writer. Let it not be words of hate that sell people into slavery and destroy people's lives. You wives know what I'm talking about, and you husbands know what I'm talking about, and you friends know what I'm talking about. But let it be peaceful words. Words that gender substance, security, safety, tenderness, and kindness. The great things of love. Speak the truth in love to one another. Make that space for God. Make that space for your neighbor. That would be space number two. That everything else is going to be just fine. When and where you don't have communication, you don't have love. Not only with your fellow man, but also with God.